All right, Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, then flip over to Exodus chapter 3. Everybody all right? I'll give you a few thoughts tonight, and it goes kind of along with our future, and what it does come in line with is just the will of God. And we want you to think about something. Probably preach next Sunday night on part two. We'll see. All right. I had a PowerPoint all lined out, sitting there this afternoon, about 30 slides on a PowerPoint, and somewhere in cyberspace is my PowerPoint. So if you're going through your computer sometime or phone, you're liable to see a sermon come up. If so, just read it, enjoy it, all right, it'll be good, and you'll know it's from me, all right? But somewhere it's in cyberspace floating around, all right? Maybe the devil can read it. All right, he's a prince of power of the air. It's out there somewhere. But we'll be back on pencil and paper right now. Is everybody all right? All right, let's pray together, and we'll give you some thoughts tonight. Father, we come just now, and Lord, again, you're wonderful, and I'm glad I'm not in Lodi Bar. I'm glad I'm sitting at your table. Nobody can see the crippledness. Nobody can see none of them. No memories, Lord. They don't remember me. If they do, Lord, it's all memory because ain't the way it is now. I'm a new guy. Thank you for it all. I'm glad I can go in, Lord. Thank you for the singers. Thank you for the songs. Now, Lord, help us to preach. Lord, I can't do it. I need you tonight. And, Lord, speak to my mind, my heart. Give me power as you see fit, and we'll praise you in Jesus' name and amen. All right. Give you a quote, if you would. This is a Preacher Mark quote for today, or quote for the week. I want you to listen carefully. Truth is not what you believe. Truth is not what you... Truth is what God says.
Amen. That's correct.
Alright. Truth is not what you believe. Everybody with me? Truth is what God says.
Amen.
Alright. So let's stick with what the Lord says. Alright. Now, I'm going to ask you some questions tonight. And we'll get to the title here in just a minute. But are you willing, and this is for the young men, this is for the young girls, this is for the old, this is for anybody, are you willing to follow the Lord regardless? Regardless. Are you willing to follow the Lord regardless? Now, when we say regardless, that opens up a whole line. All right? That regardless means, what if it means you lose your health? What if it means you lose your family? What if it means you lose all your friends? She ain't got but one to lose. What if you lose all your money? And you say, well, I don't believe if following the Lord will do that. Well, how much time you have? I can give you a list of thousands upon thousands who lost their health. Who lost their family. If we just discuss one country and one missionary, yeah. and we look at Andrew Judson, who buried two wives and several kids and even grandkids in Burma, yes, on the mission field.
Yes. Yes.
If we think about people like David Livingston and David Brainer and some of these missionaries who give their life, lost their life, right? What about preachers who lost their families? What about men of God, who even songwriters, who we sing the song, "It Is Well."
Yes.
But not, that song was not written until the family drowned.
Right.
Yeah. Will you follow the Lord regardless? Will you follow the Lord if, man, will you follow the Lord if your wife says, no, I'm not doing that, I leave. Will you still follow the Lord? Man, it's hard for men to stay single, period. Well, if your wife walks out and says, no, if you're going to serve the Lord, I'm gone. What about the women? What if you go home and you say, listen, honey, I'm going to commit myself to the Lord, and the husband says, you better be in subjection to me. I'm going to follow the Lord. And he says, no, you're not. And he leaves. I know many women who have served the Lord a sight better than me, whose husband put them through hell on earth.
Yes, sir.
They serve God regardless. But I'm asking you tonight. Well, will you serve the Lord regardless? I mean, follow Him completely. I'm not talking about coming to church. I'm not talking about singing a song. I'm talking about, will you follow the Lord completely regardless? Wait. Has there ever been a time when you looked at yourself and purposely surrendered to the Lordship of Christ? Has there? Now, Jesus is Lord. Everybody listening to me. Jesus is Lord. You don't make Him Lord. You don't make Him Lord of your life.
Amen.
Right. He's Lord, period. But is there a specific time where you have come to Him and surrendered to His Lordship that you had no life? See, many, 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 many have their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, but they have no commitment. Many have their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. They'll go to heaven by the same grace that anybody else will go.
Right.
But they're not committed to it. Are you still following me? Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says this, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Can I tell you, the sacrifice, the commitment goes together almost as the same word. Because this sacrifice that Paul's talking about here in Romans, he's talking about an on purpose. That on purpose, that you lay down yourself, all right, taking your hands off of your life, and you lay down your life and give to another, which is Christ, and back off. That you give yourself to another. And then the question is not, are you committed? The question becomes, who do you belong to?
Yeah.
Are you following? Who do you belong to? Because if you'll give yourself, then you no longer belong to you.
Right.
Because your sacrifice, commitment, is given to the hands of another. And that means you no longer belong to you. You no longer belong to you in your thoughts, in your play, in your serious time. You don't belong to you no more. You're not your own, the Bible says. You are bought with a price. Is that not what the Bible says? I mean, that's what the Bible says. Does it not? So who do you belong to? If you commit yourself tonight, say you give yourself to God completely tonight, wholeheartedly give it to God, if you're 100% God, sell out, sacrifice yourself on the altar of God's service, the altar of God's devotion and worship and praise and all of it, next week He may move you, your need of commitment, up a little higher.
That's right.
Are you willing to go up another step? See, a lot of times we're willing to commit to the level we're on now. But when Annie's up, will we commit to that level? Well, see, commitment don't matter because true commitment follows however high it goes. See, we sometimes are in circumstantial commitments. Situational commitments. Alright? Are we still okay? Sometimes we're in it just to see what we can get for nothing. And that ain't got nothing to do with commitment. So tonight I want to give you just a quick introduction message on genuine commitment. Genuine commitment. Is everybody with me? Now, I'm going to go ahead and tell you that we're going to have to quit being naive. Now, this may not be you. It may be just somebody listening on live stream or YouTube or whatever it's going to be. All right? But this pie in the sky Christianity is going to have to quit. Now, if you get saved, truly saved, you're going to heaven, like it or not. Just forget that part. You're going to heaven regardless. That's not in your hands. That's in the Lord's hands. But until you go, you have a job to do. Until you go, there's something expected of you. It's expected of you to give your life to Christ. You receive Christ as your Savior. He saves you. But many Christians live their Christian life in rebellion instead of commitment. Are you hearing me? Are you understanding what I'm saying? And I ask you tonight, do you have genuine commitment? Let's look at Exodus chapter 3. There's four questions here, and I promise you it won't be long. I promise you we'll get out our regular time. All right? Let's look here in Exodus chapter 3, and let's start at verse 1 here. It says, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that, he turned aside to see. God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. Now, we know that account. We know that so readily. We remember that from all the messages on Moses, how he saw the burning bush. All right? We know that. And here this account is where God chooses Moses to lead 3 million hard cases out of Egypt. He chose Moses to lead 3 million hateful, murmuring, complaining, ungrateful, unthankful, unsatisfied people to a place they never saw, that they were never going to have to worry about nothing, to lead them to a time that they never had to worry about nothing, to supply for them everything that they ever would need for 40 years, and he used one man to do it. Because that one man got committed to God. Alright? Now, you answer me this. How can one man be used to do that great feat? Alright? That was a great thing. You agree? That was a great thing. But yet the Church of Christ today has more resources than ever, more money to work with than ever, More Bible colleges, Bible schools, more Bibles. Better transportation, better communication. And can hardly make a dent in society in any way. What's the difference? I believe it's all because of the lack of genuine commitment. See, when I talk about genuine commitment, I'm talking about when I talk about serving God regardless. Let's go back for a moment and remember that the early Christians were hung, were dipped in oil, and hung on post to light a Colosseum and burn alive while they had games in the dark, and the light of the Colosseum were burning Christians.
Yes.
Alive, where they would take a sharp stake and go up their rectum and hang them on a pole, a sharp post, and set them afar while they suffered and died so they could play their sporting game.
Yeah.
Now, what would keep them from that if they would say, I'm not going to follow Jesus? If they said they wouldn't follow Jesus, they let them go. Well, when I ask you if you would follow the Lord regardless, that they put you in the middle of a Colosseum and have hungry lions pinned up for weeks, nothing to eat, and would tease them with blood to where they beat you with your clothes and everything and let them smell it and then turn the lions loose and you watch lions eat the head off your kids.
Yep, what they did.
That they sit there and gnaw on the legs of your babies. Unless you recant and say, no, I'm not going to follow Jesus. See, when we talk about commitment today, it's if we'll go to church on Sunday morning.
Yeah.
If we'll drive our Cadillac and heated and air-conditioned vehicle and come to church on Sunday morning.
Yeah.
And I'm committed.
Yeah.
I don't miss Sunday morning.
Yeah.
See, we don't understand genuine commitment.
No.
When we give our life and it's not our life no more. Somewhere we're missing it because Christianity is not what Christianity is in the Bible. Now, Boyd goes to Kenya and he comes home mad at America. Bob goes to Burma and comes home mad at America. I went to the Philippines, I come home mad at America. But can I tell you, it didn't change me any. It ain't changed you any either. You're just going to Kenny every now and then. It ain't changed Bob. Because we're modern day committers. Huh? I'm not mean mouthing Boyd or Bob or anybody. I'm just saying. Alright? Alright? I'm not gonna complain about anything. These guys didn't. They're sitting there watching their kids being eaten alive. But the commitment's different. We still have to make decisions to whether or not we're going to commit or not. And I believe there's four questions we're going to have to look at before we can truly commit. Is everybody running with me, all right? You say, well, you're too hard. I'm not near as hard as the Bible.
That's right.
I'm a liberal compared to what the Scripture says. Huh? Jesus said, if you love father and mother more than me, you ain't my disciple. Jesus said, if you love your family more than you love me, you ain't none of mine. See, it's all or nothing. We're going to have to quit all this choosing and we're going to have to quit and we're going to have to be committed. Listen, this year we're going to be committed. Oh, my heart is fixed, oh Lord, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Can I tell you, I told you at the start of the year things are going to tighten up. And I'm going to preach it. Now, what will we do with it is a different thing. But we're going to have it laid out there that it's a tighter line than what we live in. Okay? So get ready for that. I'm just going to read you what the Bible said. All right? I mean, go over and read the last part of chapter 11 of Hebrews. All right? And I'll tell you. All right, let's look. Are we still okay? Nothing is going to change until we get the attitude of verse 3 and 4. See, I believe verse 2, I believe everybody that's saved gets to see verse 2. Verse 2 tells us, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. I believe every Christian will see the mighty power of God. Somewhere in their life, I believe every Christian gets to see the mighty power of God. It might be limited, but they'll see the mighty power. Are you catching what I'm saying? But that's not the main thing here. What works is verse 3. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. There's nobody wanting to turn aside and see. We'll walk on by and see the power of God. But we don't turn around and look and see why it's done. Because we ain't got time. Because we got too much other stuff in our life. We've got our life to live, and then we got our life to live for the Lord. And until we have one life, we're never going to get to be seen to be used like Moses was. See, we got our pie in the sky. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. My sins are forgiven. I can live like hell through the week. Repent on Sunday. I can give me this, give me that, give me this, give me that. I don't have to grow in my grace and knowledge. I don't have to increase in this. I don't have to increase in that. I go the same year after year after year, and there's no genuine commitment. The reason I know that is because we ain't none of us persecuted. I'm talking about the preacher too. We're not even living close enough to be persecuted. We can't even be talked about living a Christian life. The only people talk about is the people we go to church with. The world don't even know we're saved yet. We say amen too many times, somebody will go home and say who they think they are. Somebody testified, well, I wish they'd just sit down and shut up. That's in the church house. It ain't the world. The Tractor Bar ain't scared of Mountain State Baptist Church. Mayor's Place ain't scared of Mountain Baptist Church. If Mountain State Baptist Church had much of a testimony, they wouldn't have a brewery when you come in town. Because there's no genuine commitment. And that's all another message. Right now, let's look at these four things. Now, I'm being mean or hard. I want us to look at something. Let's look at four things here that'll help us to have genuine commitment. We okay? See, commitment, we're going to have to come to the understanding that we're going to have to rely wholly upon Christ. It ain't going to be what I do by myself. It's going to be what I do with Christ in me tonight. I've been trying to teach us on Wednesday our place, our position in Christ, the position of the church in Christ. And I've given you so much information right out of the Word of God, and it don't seem like it's even taking hold. We can't even get excited about being in Christ.
Yeah, come on.
Genuine commitment is failing. First thing, first question. We ready? Let's look up here at verse 6. We're going to have to know who God is. I don't know that we really know who God is. Now listen to me. Look at verse 6. Now, Moses don't ask this question. God just goes there and tells him. He tells Moses, take your shoes off, you're on holy ground. think of that song, Cheryl. Moses, take your shoes off, be on holy ground. Verse 6. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. I don't know that we have a true sight, vision of who God really is, because we sure don't hide our face from who God is. We sure don't humble ourselves down. We'll fly up and question God. We'll fly up and madmouth God. We'll fly up and rebel against God. If we really knew, we would be like Moses and we'd hide his face because he couldn't even look upon God. And I don't know that we realize that he is the God of this universe, the everlasting, living, holy God, pure and perfect God, the Creator God, the greatest God, the only God. And he is the God of power, the God of greatness, the God that's omnipotent, almighty. He's the God of omniscient, all-knowing. He's the God of everywhere, omnipresent everywhere at one time. He is the God of glory. And I don't know that we recognize him like that all the time. Because we still fret if he's going to answer a prayer. We still can't trust him with our life. We can't trust him with our children. We got to nose in everything. We got to do everything for God. And we're just like the people that Rick taught about this morning. Here's what you need to do. You need to go over here because they need to see you. He gave God direction. And we're still like that. You know why? Because it ain't God that we're committed to. We're committed to self. Well, we are. I don't know that we're even really true Christian. I believe we're more humanist than we are Christian. Because we're more satisfied with our pleasure and our comfort than we are the glory of God. We're more satisfied with what I want, where I want to go, what I need, than we are the glory of God. Because I don't know that we know who God is. I believe that's the first question. And God goes on and tells him, drop down verse 14. God said to Moses, I am that I am. Are you still sure tonight that the great I am still is? The kids sing it. The kids sing it. I love it when they sing that song. The great I. It just fills my soul. Does it still fill yours? That the great I am still is. Huh? That's who he is tonight. That's who he is. And he said, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am, has sent me. Drop a look at verse 15. And God said, moreover, unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations. We're going to have to ask the question, who is this God? Who is he? Who is he to you tonight? Is he the great God? You're not going to commit to somebody you don't know. You're not going to commit to somebody you don't know. And you're not going to commit fully to somebody you're not sure of. Are you hearing me? You're not going to commit to somebody you're not sure of.
Right.
Let me say it again. You're not going to commit to somebody you're not sure of. Okay? We want to know who God is. Now, the second question. All right? Chapter 3 here. Let's look here at verse 11. And Moses said to God, well, who am I? Not only who is God, second question we're going to have to figure out is who we are. Who we are. Well, who are we tonight? Who are we? Huh? Well, can I tell you who we are? Huh? Are you ready? This is encouraging. You know who we are? We're sinners.
Yeah.
That are saved. We're sinners that are saved, that are redeemed, that are reconciled. We're redeemed by the blood of Christ on Calvary. We're reconciled to a holy God by Christ. We're justified as if we had never sinned. We are forgiven of every sin that we've ever committed and every sin we will commit. Are you understanding that? We're justified freely by His grace. We're sanctified, set apart to be like a holy God. That's who we are tonight. Are you listening to me? We're not only that tonight, but we're servants of the Most High God. We're sealed, we're Holy Spirit sealed children of a holy God tonight, the everlasting Father. Are you an heir and a joint heir with Jesus Christ? That's who we are tonight. That's who we are.
Amen.
Think about that.
Yeah.
Why couldn't I commit to Him who done all that for me? Huh? Don't call me a sinner no more. I'm a saint. I'm a sealed saint of the Holy Spirit of God. I was all that other. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? And it gives that whole list. And such were some of you. But you're washed. But you're justified. But you're sanctified. Hey, I'm soon to be glorified. I'm already seated at the throne beside Christ in front of God. I'm already there. As far as God's concerned, I'm saved for time and eternity. And I can't lose it because God saved me tonight. That's who I am. That's who I am. Huh? Do you know that? Do you know that tonight? Or is there parts of it you're wondering about? What parts are you wondering about? Are you secure in Christ? Look at me. If you're not eternally secure, you'll never commit to Christ. You'll commit to yourself. Because you're trusting you. If you're not eternally secure, knowing that when you get... Now, I don't care if people like the term on the Facebook or anywhere. You can go to hell if you wanted to if God saves you. That's how saved you are. That might be crude, but that's a fact tonight. If you can't believe that, you'll never commit to God. Because you're still figuring on if you're trying to, you're going to get there or not. Because you don't know who you are. I ain't Christ tonight. Used to be. I ain't worthless no more. Used to be. I ain't filthy and dirty no more. Used to be. I'm clean by the Word of God. I'm clean by the precious blood of Christ. I'm washed and made holy by Christ tonight. I ain't joked and I am somebody. I'm a child of the Most High God in glory. Are you?
Yeah.
Are you? You'll never commit till you figure out who you are. You'll never commit till you figure out who He is. You'll never commit till you figure out who you are. I think that's encouraging. I don't know about y'all. Some of you didn't seem like it moved you in. So I don't know what you believe, what you don't. I really don't. I mean, somewhere, they ought to be some sturdy.
Sure.
Maybe I'm finding an old story about an old dog or something. Maybe I'm finding an old story about a little boy and he had that little dog. They was sort of grown up together. They grew up together and that dog got run over trying to bring his buddy the ball. That little boy cried. And daddy got on him and said, if you pinned your dog up, he wouldn't have got run over. And it just hurt me. And ain't that awful? I got more out of you laughing than I did a while ago talking about what you were. I'm just telling you the truth. That's why we probably ain't going to commit. There's no genuine commitment. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, if you can't get excited about who you are, you'll never commit to who He is. And that's just fact. Huh? We still okay? Huh? I don't know we are not. Sometimes we fail to commit because we worry about our inability. Sometimes we fail to commit because we worry about failing. Worry about failing. Well, everybody look at me. I was going to tell you, let you know what I'm saying. If you do it by yourself, you're going to fail 100% of the time. You already done failed. Just mark it down, you done messed up. But you can't do it with you. All right? We still okay? How about we go to chapter 4? Is everybody still with me?
Yeah.
I got to hurry here. I don't want to keep you. It's cold and snowing. And I know I lost you when we was asking for money earlier. Exodus chapter 4. Verse 1, and Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me. This is Moses talking. And Moses answered and said, behold, they won't believe me, nor hearken to my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, look at the question. Was in thine hand? He said, a rod. Can I tell you, until you realize you don't have to have nothing extra. You don't have to have nothing extra to commit to God. For genuine commitment, you don't have to have nothing extra. He wants you to commit with what you got in your hand. With what you got in your hand. Everybody different. What I got ain't what you got. Huh? What you got ain't what I got. Huh? Everybody got me?
Yeah.
Everybody follow me? So you're going somewhere, you're going to have to answer that. What's in your hand? What's in your hand? You've got talents. You've got ways. You've got abilities. Huh? If that's not enough, then he'll do something different. Because the fourth question comes back in here, and you don't see the question. You have to see the scripture to see the question. Well, how do I do it? How do I do it? When I'm committed, and if I commit myself, then God's going to use me. Everybody look at me. If you commit to God, don't mean you've got to go to Kenya with Boyd. If you commit to God, does not mean you've got to go to Burma with Bob. If you commit to God, don't mean you've got to go to Italy with Paul. You can stay right here and be committed, genuine committed, right here. You can be committed and be working in a Mountain State Baptist Church and be so committed that you'll see so much done for God. It'll be amazing how God uses you. You don't have to be the preacher. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be a Sunday school teacher. You don't have to be a leader of any kind. You don't have to lead in a song. You don't have to sing a solo. You don't have to pray out loud. There ain't nothing you got to do like that. God can use you the way He wants to use you. But what He needs you to do is know who He is and know who you are and know that you can be used with what you got. You understand that? We compare. People play the piano. I wish I could play like Cheryl. Then Trista. I wish I could play like Trista. And then somebody sing. Well, I wish I could sing like Johnson. I wish I could sing like Jerry. Well, I don't want to sing like Johnson. I want to hear him do it. I don't want to sing like Jerry Rice. I love that. Jerry Rice, you're running my face. You and Johnson, I just didn't hear y'all sing to anybody. Everybody said, well, I want Trista's here. I just didn't have you and Johnson. Just want you to know. Just go ahead and tell you I hate to put them down. I just didn't hear y'all. Okay, is that all right? But I don't want to sing like y'all. Huh? I don't want to preach like Tony Shirley or Eddie White or David Nix. Or, I don't want to preach like him. Huh? I don't want to preach like wimpy Tony Shirley. Huh? Y'all make sure y'all tell him. And Eddie White can't even talk right. He got so much Georgia slang in him, y'all have a hard time understanding me. Huh? Right? David Nix is the paranoid. I don't want to preach like David Nix. Huh? Are we okay? You know, I don't want to preach like I want to preach how God wants Mark to preach. Huh? And I don't want none of these other preachers trying to preach like Mark because you can't.
That's right.
You can't.
That's right.
You can't think like me. You can't talk like me. You can't preach like me. We don't have the same style. You shouldn't even try. Huh? It's what I got in mind. Are we still okay? Let's drop down to verse 10. We'll quit. And Moses said unto the Lord, "Oh my Lord, I'm not eloquent in speech. I'm not eloquent." Boy, I can say that. I don't know. Look, y'all just look how much I've... Becky, look how much I've arrived. I went from no coat and short sleeves to preaching a coat and long sleeves. I'm about as mellowed out as I can get. I even buttoned my collar. I used to pray. I don't even adjust my time. Pull my towel down. Y'all see how eloquent I am now. Huh? Well, it is. I've got lazy and I don't want to take my coat off. And I don't want to fill my tie because then I got to put it back. It says, "Oh my Lord, I'm not eloquent. Neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken to thy servant, but I'm slow of speech and of a slow tongue." And the Lord said unto him, "Who made man's mouth?" Don't be afraid to commit to God. Don't be afraid he's going to use you. Who made your mouth? Who made you anyway? Huh? Who maketh the dumb or deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? I see that last question. How do I do it? How do I come in? Well, you're just going to have to trust the Lord. Verse 12, it says, "Now therefore go." Everybody catching it? Just go ahead and go. Just go ahead and commit. "Now therefore just go. Genuine commit. Are we okay? And I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say." And he said, "Oh my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send." Moses trying to commit, and verse 14 says, "And the anger of the Lord was kindled." See, we try to commit and we offer up all the excuses because we don't know who he is. And we don't know who we are. And we think we got to have something other than what we got. Are you following me tonight?
Yes, sir.
All I'm asking you tonight, are you desiring any genuine committee? Genuine commitment. Are we okay? And if you can't do it, just so you'll know, here's somebody to help you. Read on there and you'll see that he gave Moses Aaron to help him. So if you can't get it done, you commit, and if you think it's too much, he'll give you somebody to go along. That's why you husbands, you commit to the Lord, you got a wife that'll help you. Wives, huh? You commit to the Lord, you got a husband that'll help you. Young people, y'all got parents that'll help you, huh? And maybe it might be up to you to help them. Maybe they need a little child to lead them. Huh? Think about it. Genuine commitment.